you, Brother Paul.
I'm
that'd be a sign that you can just as quick as you can get a place, I'll return back up here again to continue this meeting on.
They want you to preach that.
All right, then.
We're all sinners saved by grace.
Amen. That's what we are, sinners saved by grace. Is that right? We're all sinners saved by grace. I remember when I was in Bible school, I'm not too close to this. All right. Everybody remember to pray if we happen to leave, be gone for some time. Don't forget. The thanks for me time for our company service. Out from under him on from the rain. And it's a great liberty to stand. And we're happy to be dead. It builds me up. And then at night time, the anointing comes for these things. Just imagine. Sometimes there are meetings where we have many, many hours to meet. Sitting all around, video registering, reporters, ministers sometimes criticize the church that doesn't believe in people. And they're just waiting to find one thing wrong. They could do that if they spin it off and they get to it. Now it's got to be just. Just as I said, at all times the Holy Spirit moves right in and knows just exactly what. And that's the reason that I visit much with people. Not that I don't want to. God knows I want to do that, but I just can't do it. Because when I get with someone, they're talking or something else. Then they get to stay away from that and be just. So that the Lord would say, this person's got a certain spirit of pain. Or this one over here, who's just standing before you? Remember what one mistake would do. And I can't depend on myself, or I will do nothing. I have to depend on him. And in there, I'm trusting it. When the Lord does that he'll inspire the entire congregation to believe the supernatural, see God is in the midst of us, ready to glorify his works among us. And I'm very happy that he makes himself known that way. Can we just speak to him just for a moment now while we bow our head? Our Heavenly Father, we're very thankful to be here this afternoon to be represented among your children, those who believe you, who suffer for you, who preach the word, who minister through the day and through the night, those who fast and pray and look heaven all day long. We're thankful to be associated with such a heavenly group that we're setting before this afternoon. For many, many hundreds of people gathered out here that are all filled with your spirit, waiting the moving of the waters, we might step in. To prevent you, there would be those, Lord, who doesn't know you here. Just with a little back, we're about to lift up their hands to make a public confession of them. Pray that you'll speak to that heart today. Bring them to the altar of repentance. They might find thee dear to their heart. Those who without the Holy Spirit, may they come today. They, O God, search me and try me. Is there be any evil in me? And wash it by thy blood. I might receive thee. Holy Spirit is in my heart. Forgive us of our shortcomings, Lord. We, thy children, have erred. Many a times we err from the way and we pray that you forgive us. Bless the word I do not know. You know, Father, that I do not know one word that I shall say this afternoon. Just announcing perhaps on the return of the prodigal son to speak to
don't care.
That's all the words that go forth may they fall in fertile ground, rent with a hundredfold. Oh, yes. I do not know why I said that subject to speak on the return of the prodigal son. I haven't read this scripture for the past 8 years. From the way of the Pharisee, the son that was left at home, that felt bad towards his brother. And I believe that's the way the story goes. And he was very provoked because the father had received the lost, straying son back. And his attitude of approach to it. And I spoke to the church about how that they should not feel that way, that when a sinner comes to the altar, the whole church are together right around him. Don't you believe that? Not long ago, down near Burstville, Kentucky, where I was born, it's on Memorial Day. I've been about 5 years ago. I was speaking there on Sunday afternoon, and it I was just thinking a few moments ago what a difference. Here we are, cars parked around, a lovely auditorium. And down there was a little old church made of clapboard shingles, split logs, way back up. And when they'd taken me up that day, there was horses all along. The speaking of the morning had him singing. I was standing there on the platform, and he had the Amen corner on one side and the ladies over on the other side. And they were didn't have no song book at all. It had an old organ that you pumped with a stick. Did you ever see one? Let's see if anybody ever seen an organ. Oh yeah, that you pumped with a great big pole that cut out of the woods. They pumped this organ. And sometimes they wouldn't use it because some of the keys were out. They had an old tuning fork. They'd get to that part, the ministry would it all catch it and start singing. It was singing, "We'll fear no evil when we come to die, for Jesus will take us in his arms and carry us safely home." Those people, how that they respected God. I spoke to him about divine healing that afternoon. Or that night, rather. And the next day I was squirrel hunting up on the side of the hill. I heard the saws going down the holler, and I thought I'd go down to see what they were doing. Four or five men were standing down there with their rifles sitting against a tree while the fuse goes on. And they were sawing wood, and one of the speaking said, "I believe that preacher told the truth." And one of them said, "That was a blankety blankety, mister. That's the only way he has to express himself, I guess." And I walked up where they were at, they were talking. And one of them had a great big chew of tobacco. Almost looked like that big sticking out the side of his mouth. Jaw puffed out. He was just the head speaker. When I walked up, I said, "Hello." And they turned around. This big fella looked at me, swallowed that chew tobacco, took off his hat, and said, "Good morning, Parson." I thought, "Wow, that was enough to kill him almost. A great big wad of tobacco like that." But while speaking in the afternoon, dinner had been served. Of course, I believe the people up here, that would have been lunch. But it's dinner. I eat three meals a day, breakfast, dinner, and supper down there in the south. So I got mixed up when they were going to say dinner time up here. Supper time, I missed out supper. So anyhow, the horses were chomping down in the woods. I was speaking on the subject of the resurrection of Christ, and when a big old boy sitting back there, the place was crowded full, and he ran to the altar, hollered, "God have mercy on my soul." And when he came up, well, he never got halfway to the altar, but God had saved me. While there's about 50 of those old mammies out there, grabbed him around the neck and down the altar and went with him. There's about 50-some-odd conversions that afternoon, and now they didn't get down there and just make a dry-eyed confession and get up. They prayed through about 2 hours, though. They got up their shoulders so wet you could just wring them out before they perspired. They got up shouting, and down through the woods and up over the hill they went hard, "Hallelujah, hallelujah." Listen, folks, they might have been Baptists, but they had real old-time Holy Ghost religion. That's right, because they lived that way. By your fruits, you're known. That's true. Now, while I read you pray, if you will, over in 15th chapter of St. Luke, we wish to read these verses of the Scripture, beginning with the 11th verse of the 15th chapter of St. Luke. And it said, "A certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me.' And he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger gathered all together and took his journey to a far country, and there wasted his substance around his living. And we had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him to his field to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hard servants my father had, bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and say unto him, Father, I sinned against heaven and before thee, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me one of thy hired servants.' And he rose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, and ran, fell on his neck, and kissed him. His son said unto him, 'Father, I sinned against heaven and in thy sight.
Harvest God. I've often wondered what would life
We try to justify ourselves. We say, well, this isn't very bad. But believe sin to be confessed all of it. No matter what, how little it looks to you, it's sin in the sight of God. Look how little the person is. But look what it did to the human race. When the first sin was committed, look at the difference. When the message came to heaven that your son has fallen. Why, look like Adam ought to have been running around through the garden calling, oh, Father, where are you? But Adam went and hid himself. And it was just vice versa. It was the Father calling, Son, where art thou? See how a man will try to justify himself? You'll try to stand behind something. Instead of coming right out and saying what he is and confessing his sins before God, he'll try to hide behind something. And here was the searchings of God. Walking, running, up and down the garden, screaming for his lost boy. The Father, hunting, searching for the Son. It should have been the Son searching for the Father. And today, it's just the same. Just as soon as man sins, and instead of coming out and confessing his sin before God, you'll try to get back. You'll try to hide behind something. You'll try to get a self-made religion. Look at Adam. They made papers of fig leaves and cut that around. The fig leaves. But when they came to the place where God called Adam and Eve to stand before him, they realized that they had a man-made religion. The word religion means a covering. And they were covered by self-made apron. You see it? Now, that strain is in man yet today. And instead of trying to come God's way of repentance and believing on his Son, letting the blood of his Son cleanse us from our sins, we slip around, try to find some other way, some way of escape from coming God's way. We'll say, well, this religion, we'll join this, or we'll do this where it's not quite so strict. And the fig made leaves, when they had to face God, was no good. And you will find out, my dear friend, that man-made theories will not stand when you're coming down to the last breath of this body, this life. It's good to live for those things, but you can't die by it. Now, I guess for my age of the ministry, I've probably stood by as many dying people as anyone of my age, because I've been much called on to the dying. Not long ago, a certain young lady in our city had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. She came up to the tabernacle. Another young lady in the city, very popular, belonged to a modern type of religious group that denied the blood and the covering and said that we were a puff and a bunch of holy rollers because that we believed in the saving grace of Christ. If that's what it takes to be a holy roller, then I am one. For I believe in the blood. This young lady went to dance shows, but she was the Sunday school teacher in the church. The church denied the blood of Christ. Said there was no such a thing. The pastor said it dried up 1900 years ago. A social gospel.
By and by, the young lady got out with some boys. Fine-looking little lady. This little girl come up the tabernacle. She kind of dressed kind of old-fashioned. She used to go down the street in her hair home, back as tight as she could get it without the, ever what you call the manicure on her face, ever what the stuff is that they wear. On down the street she would go. Yes, it's the truth. We teach against it. God help preacher to get out to the gospel. Listen, ladies. There was only one woman in the Bible that ever painted herself to meet a man, and that was Jezebel, and God sent her to the dogs. So when you see where that's how do this dog meet, that's exactly what it was. God sent her to the dogs. You don't want to be like her. God will make you pretty in your ways. Pretty isn't pretty does. But even our holiness churches are letting down. You know that's the truth. You better come back to the old viewing line again. Back to the gospel. Now, notice this young lady, she just carried on everywhere. Went out to dances and parties and so forth. Taken sick. She didn't understand what was the matter, but when the doctor got to her, she had a venereal disease. She didn't see more of her life. Tried some shots, but it didn't work. Well, the pastor told her she would go right on to heaven because she was a Sunday school teacher. So they all gather in the room, the seers go out, the angels of the Lord come together. Just had some defeat a little while before that. Pastor was standing out in the hall of a home, lovely big home, fine people. He just stepped out of the room, the Sunday school class was all in, singing songs, the seer go to heaven. And the pastor stepped out and spoke out in the hall. And when death struck the girl, she began to get history. She said, "Where is that girl?" They said, "What girl?" He said, "Here's all your questions. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about that girl that called her name, that from up there at the tabernacle that used to speak to me about my soul." He said, "Go get her." They went to the pastor, and he came running in. He said, "Now, honey, listen." He said, "We'll call the doctor and give you a shot. You're getting a little hysterical." She said, "I'm not hysterical." She said, "You deceiver of man. I'm lost and going to hell because you taught me that." And the girl died and went out to meet God lost, crying for the girl that had tried to tell her what was right. Look, brother, when you come down to the end of this life's journey, you'll wish you had lived a holy, clean life before God. Be sure to remember that. Now about your church, what you belong to, that doesn't mean nothing. What you are in your heart. God ain't going to ask you whether what church you belong to. What you are in your heart is what God's going to say. Notice how the Jesus speaking here about the Father and the Son going away. He must have been had this on his mind of how the God searching, calling, pulling the people to repentance. And today the Holy Spirit still going through the land, calling out to the lost and the dying. Before we leave this here about the fig leaves, I wish to say one more word. Notice what God did. God, when he met with Adam and them, they had their own made religion. As in 24 hours ago, to someone said, "Brother Branham, you know what my religion is?" He said, "My religion is the golden rule. You want to reach your heaven with this?" I said, "That's good, but that hasn't got any salvation." That's right. "Except a man be born again, he will no wise enter the kingdom." Born of the Spirit of God. Renewed, regenerated, become a new person in Christ Jesus. Old things passed away and all things become new. The bird had changed over. Going to the road this way, turn, come this way. Wipes the bird.
Now, but then, when they stood before God, Adam was afraid to come out. He said, I'm naked. Now notice, God went out and got some skin and come in and made aprons and tied them around. Now notice, if God got skin, he had to kill something. Something had to die to make a cover. And he killed something and got the skin off of it. And something died in their place because the penalty was dead. So an innocent victim had to die for the guilty to cover them up. And so is it today, friends. Not the golden rule, which is all right. Not the Ten Commandments, which is holy. But God killed something to cover you up. His Son, Christ Jesus, died on Calvary, the innocent for the guilty, to make a way that you and I might be innocent in Him before God. That's the thing that the Holy Spirit is searching through the land today to try to find someone to believe on Him, on Christ Jesus. Now, our story starts, very pathetic story to me, as I shall try to approach it just a little bit now. Listen closely. Let's set a drama this afternoon. Picture back just a little bit, so that the children might receive God help our children. Not long ago, the great G. Edgar Hoover outfit, Captain Al Ross, great man, over all the juveniles of the Hoover outfit, came to my meeting and converted, led to Christ. I stood in his office, what it was, out in Fresno, California, and had a meeting 3 nights. We went there to Seattle. Dr. Bobber was making his address, fixed to introduce me and just into this. Someone stepped up with plain clothes on and tucked his shoulder. But I'd like to have a word to say. Dr. Bobber said, that's not customary here, sir. Short his credential, he was Captain Al Ross. And he said, yes, sir. He said, friend, his bowels had gathered. And he said, Captain, I'm Captain Al Ross. He said, most everyone here knows me because my native home is here in Washington, home. He said, my business is to break up rats. And he said, when I heard this brand of pair of brains of the signal, I went to Fresno to stop the rat. He said, I've seen those things. I heard the preacher speak. And he didn't seem like a racketeer to me. That we brought, went and got a medical doctor and sent a little boy in there that was been paralyzed in his limbs from polio. Polio had just seized him. And said when he came to, he stayed with tonight. Finally, they got the boy in the line. Said when he came to, Brother Brandon said he's a victim of polio. And he asked the father if he would believe. And so the father was on the police force. And said he would believe. Said Brother Branham said, within the space of 8 days, the boy shall be well. And said, we've watched him. And said, the little lad standing behind the curtain here tonight, perfectly normal. We turned back to school. He said, I want you all to be well dressed and sure of this. We checked their findings, what they do with it. And the thing that I want you to know that it's not a racket, that it's through the hand of Almighty God. The next day, he take me down to this big jail where they had there, we had the young ladies in there, some of them gun fighters.
They were walking up and down the floor, cursing one another. He said, "What do you think of that, Reverend Branham?" I said, "Oh, my." I said, "Can I speak a word to him?" He said, "Certainly." I went down to the young man there, and there they were in there in a horrible condition. He showed me how from his desk he pressed the button to open the person's cells and could only be secure. Someone would shoot him and touch the button here and log everything and everything all around the place. Then as he was finished, he had two guards with him, and when we went down into the gallery, he said, "You like guns, don't you, Brother Branham?" I said, "Yes." We went down into the gallery, beneath, way down, the cell light. He said, "Here's where we practice with the young man." He began to tell how far you could be from one place to the other, and how to shoot, so forth. I noticed he kept looking down at me, and I wondered what he was going to do. This is the officers that was with him, and we were in this little place alone with metal all around. He said, "Brother Brandon?" He said, "Yes, sir. What do you think of on my shoulder?" I thought, "Oh, sir." He said, "You wonder if there's a chance." I said, "What do you mean?" "But I haven't been a bad man. I've got a hold of the law. You are not a good man." He said, "But I really want to find Jesus." And I said, "Do you believe?" He said, "Yes, sir. But I haven't found him. I've gone to church. I haven't." He said, "It'll give me time to prove myself." "I've gone to church and been a member for years, but I don't know exactly." I said, "All right, Captain Fryer, you can receive him if you'll just leave." He said, "I'll tell you, before you leave Washington, you set some place where you'll meet us.
We'll go together."
They're all over. So you just fix them and have a dinner and go out together and so forth. So maybe I'll take my yacht and take you out for the day. But Captain Al Clark, we'll receive you right here." He said, "Not down here." Yeah, I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Will he come down here?" I said, "He went to the belly of a whale for a man. He went down to the fiery mountains and just comes to your mouth. He'll come down to the gallery there." That officer unbuckled his gun and laying on the floor and put his arms around me like that. And Bob practically comes down to save me. Going to preach the gospel now. Preacher going out. See, the Father is still concerned about the lost. No matter who you are, what environment you're in, Jesus will come anywhere to receive you. Look at this prodigal this afternoon, where he was. Worst place for a Hebrew there could be in a big place. Notice, look at the drama now. There's an old-fashioned country home. Let's just fix it in our minds for a moment. I can see living there a lovely old couple. Worked hard all their life and have a son. Of course, the son always falls heir to his inheritance. And then this younger son, perhaps, let's see, they went to church every Sunday. And they love God and they serve God with all their heart. But one day, this younger son would say he would start going out with a group that he had no business going to. This one. Appearance of evil. Stay off the enemy's ground.
What is your life?
wonderful father's quality very much.
Well, what are you going to do, son? He said, I'm going down to the city and live by the
location. Stay with mother and I. We love you with all of our hearts. We'll be good to you. Done everything we can. But that was satisfied. Satan has got a hold of him. So he was going down to the city to live by the rest of worldly people. Then I see his father tell mother, say, Mother, you know what happened?
Our boy.
The doctor, the wrong path. He's a young man now, so he best tell the father, take all that I have, divide it among you and his brother. I'll be talking. Thank you, the old mother. God bless you. How I love her. Over the body of the year, she is truly coming out like a wicked mother that has got a very long time. I suppose she all knows she needs to be here at her feet. I said, Mother, I don't know what I've got to do with God. This old mother, I can think of her and restore his head and see her go to her son and say, Son, Mother, to wash her over the door. I do everything she could for yet. Now I hear you say, Mama, you get on the way with that stuff. That's old time. I don't want something like that. I'm going to have my way. I'm really of age now, so I'm going to have my way about it. You see her put her arms around me and hug me. She was hugging me. Without natural affection, that's the way it is today. The child rules the home now. They're the one who knows the law. Shame. Without natural affection, I see the mother type look at the folks. One of these days, that old dad that you'd be ashamed of him. Just because he goes to church, maybe his captain shouts, must stop that boyfriend, that girlfriend of yours in the church. Oh, look, if you get that awful, you're just a little bit ashamed of him. There'll be a time when you won't be ashamed of him. Not long ago, a young lady come in college, her mother washed her before the end of the college. When she drove in to the station, she had a brought a young girl with her. She got away from the bomb, away from the church. And the young girl was with her. And the young girl sitting in the train looking out. And there stood her mother on the outside. She was all scarred up. And the young girl was with the other coming from college said, look at that old haggy looking woman. But isn't she horrible? My, wouldn't you hate to have a set at the table with her? That was her girlfriend. Now instead of the girl speaking up, she turned her head. When she got off the train, this old wrinkled woman run up to her and threw her arms around the girl to kiss her. And the girl was so provoked. Got away from the church of God. She's so provoked. She turned her back and looked away. She said, My darling, what happened to you? And she was so embarrassed because of her girlfriend. Just then, one of the conductors who knows the story walked up and grabbed that young girl by the shoulders and looked in the air and said, what do you mean? That you ashamed of your mother since you've been away to college? Said, remember, you know the story. One day the house was burning down. Your mother was a beautiful woman, far more beautiful than you are, or ever was.
said you were a little crying baby when she was hanging the poles in the backyard. And all at once the house caught fire. And here comes the fire engine to put it out. And the house is aflame. And you were crying up in the upstairs. No one would dare to pierce the flame. That little mother wrapped herself and in there she ran through the flame. She grabbed you and took her poles from her body, wrapped your face up, wrapped you all up, and put your arms and placed her own face to the flames, and through the flames she comes and rescued you. But that's why you're pretty today, and that's why she's scarred. Are you ashamed of scarred? That's the way Jesus did for us. When we were sinners, ugly before God, cast away, turned away, he came, the lovely Son of God, from the ivory palace, and come down upon the earth and took the shame upon himself and the sin upon himself and died there at Calvary crying, should I be ashamed of his gospel? Christians on the streets, we're ashamed to stand up for the gospel. When he was marred and made ugly that you could be free, he was marred to sin and you could be free from sin. Don't never deny it. Always loving. Stand for that which is true. Stand for his gospel. And now, that's the way of the attitude nearly of young people today. This young son is feeling the same way. He said, Mother, I don't want no more to do with this family. All you do is go to church. All I hear, watch. I can see the old father put a sale sign up now. Kind of dramatizing this, of course, for the benefit of the young people. Then I can see put a sale sign up to sell the old farm, get all the goods together, and divide it up among the boys. Mother and dad will just live as long as their potion lasts, maybe, and then it'll be over. Notice, I can see when they divided the potion to the young boy. Got his money in his pocket. He said, now I'll have a good time. The next morning, I'm seen going to say to his mother, old lady, pack my clothes now. I'm going to leave in the morning. Oh, my. How that poor old mother would go and get the little things that he wore when he was a little boy. Tuck them away. Look at them. I see her pick up a little pair of shoes. You know, mothers like to keep things like that. Mama's got my old shoes. I wore them out. Got the long dress like they had the baby. It's a treasure to a mother's heart. I can see this old mother take these little shoes and set them up on the organ. Get down there and pray and say, oh, God, take care of my boy. Leaving me now. How many of you have ever had an old-fashioned mother like that? Let's see your hand. Oh, aren't they lovely and sweet? Take care of my boy. He's gone out. World, and I don't know what will happen to him, only take care of him, Father. Pray. Did you ever have your mother pray for you? Oh, when my little old mother, I've seen her go back in the room to herself when we would be without food and kneel down on her knees and cry out to God. God, give us some more old fashioned praying mothers like that. That's the backbone of our nation. That's right. Good God saves mothers. I can see her crying out to God, God, take care of my boy. No matter what you ever do, she's here. Her heart's always ready to forgive and come back. Then I can see the old daddy just weary, walking back and forth up and down on the outside. From the barn up in the house, back and forth. I hear Mother go to the door and say, what's the matter, Dad? Oh, God save people, they worry about their children. I'm a father myself, and I've got a little boy sitting here looking at me right now. God knows my mother. I just want to have to die the day too, and let me die 10,000 times. That's right. But he's saved. It's the love that we have for our offspring. That's the reason God so loves the Lord. His offspring. That he came himself and died that we might be free. Faith and penalty himself. I notice this
father weary, walking back and forth up and down. The next day, when it comes time for the boy to leave, I see him pack his little suitcase and get out there. I see before I say, so long, folks, and start off. Mother said, just a moment. Before you go, let's have prayer one more time. Kneel down on the floor and see the old mother and dad with their arms around one another. Pray to God. God, we praise thee. We come into this Lord. He's gone out from away from us now, wandering. Please, Father, take care of our men. I'm going to say, oh, this restless father, pray. They didn't want to hear them prayers of mother and dad. No more. He had other things on his mind. That's the reason sometimes we're impatient. Just can't wait a few minutes. Can't pray. Can't wait for a prayer. But there will come a time, friend, when you'll have all eternity to think about. Pray now. Be ready now to meet the man. I can hear him pray and get up. Mother try to hug him and he turned his head, his dad put his arms around him and cried, oh, you all want off, start off, went over the hill. I see father and mother stand there with their hands, arms around one another, waving goodbye to him as he went off over the hill, down into the city to be with the rest of the world. And this parent, I see them return back into the house again, weeping, crying, praying. I see him give to the big crowd down there, and as long as his money lasted, he was a good fellow. That's the way the world treats you. As long as you got money, you got friends. But when your money's gone, your friends are gone. That's dry weather friends. I know a friend who will stick by you if you haven't got a penny. Jesus Christ, Son of God. I've been to a place where I had not a cent. He loved me. He loved me just as much if I was in heaven ten as if we had $1 million. He loves you just the same. That's pure all your adultery love. Comes from God alone down into his people. And that's the way we should love one another, with that godly love. Notice. And I can see him in the great, in the places of gambling devices and halls of ill fame and so forth. And after a while, his money was gone and his friends was gone. He was a popular boy. He could have a date with any of the girls. But when his money was gone, they were gone with the crowd. That's just the way the devil is. As long as you got money and popular, all right. But when that time wears out, you're expensive. That's all before the world. And I can see he had to get himself a job. So he went to a citizen of the country, a hog raiser. Look where he dropped from now. A Jew. Not even supposed to put their hands on the carcass of a hog. And he was in need. He was starving. And he had to take a job. And to give him the worst thing, that's the way the devil does. Just as soon as he can get you started down the hill, he will trap you with everything he's got. I see.
He was a good man. He was a good fellow then. And he joined himself with a citizen of the country. And the citizen gave him two big slop buckets to go slop the hogs. He gave a blaze, a Jewish boy. And they're slopping hogs in the pig feed. Away from mother, away from religion that he once had to keep away from hogs. Now he was rooting it. That's the way the devil would do. He'll get you to smoke your first cigarette, tell you there's no harm in it. After a while, you're a cigarette fiend. He'll tell you there's no harm in taking a sociable drink. I stood by him before he went to Gallus. Their time of course was executed. I never intended to play to be a gambler. I never intended when I was playing cards to be a gambler. I never intended to be a drunkard. I stole the first couple of bottles out of a filling station. I didn't intend to be a thief. The only thing the devil wants you to do is to start. He'll take you on. Get over on his ground one time and watch him. You know what it seems to do wrong. But there's an influence. The power of darkness, the prince of the power of death, that leads you captive.
that you love the world out of the things of the world, so love of the Father is not even in you. Stay away from it. And as long as that desire is in your heart to do that, come back to the altar. Amen. Stay there until it's all gone. Oh, mama. That's the kind of old-fashioned religion that I'm speaking about. Kind of takes the desire out of you.
I first converted. Young lady came and said, Brother Brent,
now what pleasure you get out of life? You don't smoke, drink, or go to shows or anything? You know, I said that about 8 minutes sinner stand the altar. I said, I have more pleasure in that in 1 minute than you could have in the world in 10 years. Love's coming to God. That's where we have pleasure, Christian. Seeing newborn babes in Christ coming into the kingdom. No, that's eternal. Something is real. Now, I can see the chap down there now laying the hog pig. Nighttime, had no place to sleep, so the boy just left the house. Lay down for the start of the hog and the truck. One night, you see a restless mother and dad begin to think about the boy and the hog pig. Your mother said, I'm just so restless, Dad, I don't want to do this. I just keep thinking about the boy. I wonder where he's at. I wonder if he's got something to eat. Your dad say, well, we've always been talking. All things work together. That's great. I can sit down on the floor and begin to pray. Up and down. I'm here praying, oh, God, take care of the boy. Wherever he is, what a state he's in, take care of his father and send him home. Work him down the hall. Angel of God. Boy, wake up. Paul thinks that, oh, how about you just get back home? Think of my father's head, all the wealth that he had, and all the things that he could give me. Here I am laying here, dying in the moment. Angel of God. The Bible said he came to you himself. That's what the church needs to do today, is come to themselves. To realize who is your Father. For sometimes we act as though we have no heavenly Father. Well, all the goodness of heaven belongs to the church. Divine healing, salvation, freedom from worry, or anything, all belongs to the church. Jesus died, and we inherit all that God has through him. Heirs of the kingdom. Rich. My father's rich cattle and land. He holds the wealth of the world in his hands. That's how we are. Do we just come to ourselves? So I can see him as if he could have come to himself and say, oh, if I could just go home. Then I'm sinned and I'm no more worthy to go home. So what can I do? See, I can think of your time when he was with us. When he was sick, his mother brought the cradle, take him back and forth up and down the room to love him and care for him. Now there's nobody to love and care for him. He's out in the cold world of shit for himself. All he hears drumming is those cows. I can hear him begin to sing an old song, maybe that his mother did. I believe it goes something like this. If I could hear my mother's if I could hear my mother's
down there again. Now you see Father just being restless. Get up there on his pole and walk out with me in the moonlight night. Put you down on the cross of the path. Wonder if you heard the voice. Go to song like that. He's going to be the just had his little father to think like this. Now you see his daddy had a whole red egg. He used to hear about it.
Put the wedding ring on my finger and go in somewhere. amongst his people here where we can rejoice and live together and be happy. Why, I was once dead and now I'm alive. Oh my, I was once lost and now I'm found. There's many prodigals in the world today. There's prodigal men, prodigal women. And God calls for all to come to repentance. Is that right? He wants us to come. He wants you to come. All prodigals everywhere. I wonder if there is a prodigal here today that's straight away. I look up there and see my time getting away. Is there a prodigal? Raise up your hand. Somebody that's come away from God, would you raise your hand right now and say, Brother Brandon, I'm a prodigal. I want to find your side right now. How many have you got the Holy Spirit? On any side. That's God bless you. I wonder if all of you that have got the Holy Spirit or have received the word, if you come right down here now, while you stand up for us, you can tell Mother I'll be there, and come right here, and let's talk over to God right now. You see, to heal hold of the eyes of the blind upon you, unstop the ears of the deaf. Don't you see that he was there on the bread now for your feet? Let's sing all of them now. Thank you.
You're here now. Where will you be 500 years?
You are alive, just the crossroads. You've come. Bless the Lord. There he goes now.